Hallelujah. Amen. We were in Luke, the 17th chapter. I'm glad to see the Bible students have Bibles. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me just go on and read a little more here, because we're talking about the coming of the fullness of Christ. He's coming first into this temple. Kingdom of God is coming first in my soul. Hallelujah. And when we say that God is looking for sons, we are talking about those who have the fullness of Christ. He is going to have a company of sons who walk after his nature. Who are not walking after other kingdoms. Who are not pursuing other things. But are focused completely on Him. Hallelujah. You know, if you, Matthew 24, basically the same kind of word that is given in Luke 17. How many times did Jesus say that we should take heed that we be not deceived? Now, if we are not understanding what the kingdom of God is and what it is not, we are open to deception. Okay.
Amen.
Took a lot of words.
Yeah, because Isaiah still like Tagalog.
Hallelujah. So he warned us that we be not deceived. Now I want to ask you a question. Let's talk to the older people for a minute. If I ask the children this question, they'd never know the answer. Older people, have you ever been deceived? How many of you have ever been deceived? I have.
Hallelujah.
What was it that deceived you? Did you ever ask yourself, why was I deceived? So you see how easy it is to be deceived. And Jesus is saying that there's coming a deception upon the earth. Greater and stronger than we have ever seen. And I remember when I began to hear this word, and I began to go before the Lord and say, Lord, how can I know that I will not be deceived? A mighty man of God, an apostle of God, came to our area with this word. And the word that he brought was so strong that It destroyed so many religious beliefs that I had. My wife was sitting in the meeting. We went home that night. You know how it's like when you go home with your wife. And you say, well, what about that meeting we had? Do you know what she said to me? She said to me, either this man and the word that he brings is 100% right, or he is 100% wrong. She caught on right away. I said, sister, it's 100% right. These are answers to questions I have been asking the Lord for a long time. It fits perfect. It ties perfectly with the Word of God. You don't have to twist anything to get it to fit. Do you know what I mean by twisting things to make them fit? It's quite clear what the Bible means when it says, and yet somebody wants to make it believe something else, and so they twist it, and then they try to bring it together, and it doesn't fit. And you know in your heart that it doesn't fit. And yet, because it's a sacred doctrine, you don't dare to touch it. This is the thing that attracted me. To the word of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Let me read a few more verses here in Luke chapter 17. After he said, go not after them, nor follow them. He says, for as the lightning that lighteth out, 1724, out one part under the heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Now, students of the Bible, we have to ask ourselves, what does that mean? Does that just mean that if I go outside when it comes time for the Lord to come, and I just keep looking, one day the lightning will flash and that'll be it? Do you know, I had such carnal thinking one time. You know, I read the verse where Jesus said, if ye have faith, ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall obey. So I remember that I made the statement in my natural thinking. I don't think I said it to the church, though. But I said, now, before Jesus comes, See, I lived in the mountains in New York. We have mountains. We have big mountains. And I said, one day a man will stand before that mountain. And he will say, "Be thou removed." And the mountain. Well, one day I found out that I had mountains of problems in my soul. And I found out that these mountains were preventing me from walking in places that I needed to walk. And I began to also find out that I could speak to those mountains, "Be thou removed." You see, those mountains weren't made out of stone. They were made out of the things that the devil had suggested to my soul, beliefs that I had, circumstances, troubles that I had got myself into. And I began to say, "Satan, you will not bind my soul anymore." Tell me, how long does it take to see the kingdom of God? How long does it take you to hear the message before your eyes are open? Do you have any idea? You have 4 years? Do you understand it yet? Getting started.
No, he said he's still discovering.
Still discovering. I am too.
Hallelujah.
I am too. I want more. Now, let's not be too hard on Peter. Every Peter in the Bible. Everybody talks about what a difficult man Peter was. Let me go over to John for a minute. John 18. John 18. We'll go to verse 10. Okay, now here we are in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the chief priests and the scribes have got their army. They've come into the garden where Jesus was praying with his disciples. Well, I should say where Jesus was praying and the disciples were sleeping. And they came and he said, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." I'm paraphrasing a little bit. It might not be those exact words, but I think that's what it said. Yeah. They answered him, "Yeah, Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said to them, "I am he." Actually, in English we added the word "he." What he really said was, "I am."
Yes.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
When Moses asked God, "What is your name?" What will I tell Pharaoh? And God answered,
I am
who I am.
Yes.
Now, do you see the power of the name? Now come, we're still talking about the kingdom. We're talking about the king, the power of his name. When he went before Pharaoh and said to Pharaoh, I am, says, these people are going to be set free from your land. I am, said, I am taking a million of my people out of Egypt. Pharaoh thinks it's a big laugh. Who is this little man to tell me? I am the most powerful man on earth. And this little man from the desert comes and tells me that I am going to lose all my slaves. And I believe that God took the challenge. Oh, the man doesn't think he's going to do it. Well, I have some ways. Now there was a man, Jonah. And he didn't think that he wanted to obey the Lord either. Can't you just see the Lord? Well, I have some ways. The man will be crying to go to Nineveh when I get through with him. Come on. The kingdom of God, we're going to be baptized in fire. Listen, which side do you want the fire? Where do you want it? See, we're either going to endure the fire now, or those who don't are going to have the fire in hell. It'll be a different kind of fire. Alright, so here's the army. Who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. I am. The whole army fell over backwards. Now, by the way, here is the one place that I believe the people fall over under the anointing. It's when Jesus said, I am. So now listen. Listen to what happened. It says, and they went backward and fell to the ground. Verse 6. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way.
Amen.
18, 9.
Yes. Kini aron matuman ang pulong iyang gikasulti
sa mga katugyan mo kanako, wala ako kawad ibisag usa.
Now we'll go to verse 10.
Verse 10.
Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servants and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus.
Si Simon Pedro nga nagdala og espada, milanit niini og iyang gitigbas ang ulipon sa labaw sa saserdote og napalungan kini sa tuon niyang dalungan. Ang ngalan sa ulipon mao si Mateo. Malco. Amen.
Then said Jesus to Peter, "Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?"
Og si Jesus mingon kang Pedro, "Iuli sa sakop kanang imong espada, dili ko ba diay imnon ang sulod sa kupa nga gihatag kanako sa akong amahan."
What is Peter thinking? What is he thinking? What kind of kingdom understanding does Peter have after being with Jesus for more than 3 years? Did Peter understand that the kingdom of God is within you? Did Peter understand that the kingdom of God does not come with observation? Peter is still expecting this throne. Maybe not James and John, but Peter. Why would he get a knife out? And he thinks he can fight the whole army with his little knife? You know, there was a fourth aspect of this soul, and that's the emotions. I think Peter's emotions needed to be brought into submission to the kingdom of God. Well, who are you there? Oh, Christ, save me. Okay. Now, that wasn't the best of it. It says in verse 12, "Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him." He had the power by saying, "I am," to destroy all of them. And they have to tie his hands. And he allowed them to do it. He didn't have to be bound. How could they control a man with that power with their little rope? All right, Peter. Now,
hallelujah.
He comes down to Pilate. Pilate doesn't understand anything about the kingdom of God, but he knows about some of these kingdoms. He probably thinks that this is just some of these people from this kingdom that are coming around. They don't have much power. They're just making a lot of noise. And he said to Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" So, do you really have some kingdom here? You know, we're the big guys around here. Who are you? Who do you think you are? And Jesus said to him, "Sayest this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee about me?"
18.
Yeah, 34.
1834. Yeah, amen. Jesus mitubag kaniya, imo ra ba gayod kining pagkasultiha o may nagtug-an ba kanimo niini mahitungod kanako?
Pilate, how did you find out about this? Remember, this is God standing in front of Pilate. Pilate is asking God if he's a king. But you see, Pilate doesn't see him as God. He sees a man with, you know, hair and clothes and, you know. For that matter, the religious leaders, that's all they saw too. I mean, the chief of the religious men, they didn't see God. They didn't see any other kingdom except their kingdom. And he was ruffling up some feathers in their kingdom. Did that translate? Ruffling up their feathers?
Okay. Doon na sila yung mga panginaya nga ang ilang mga pagkasayod o kahanasayran ng aging harianon nga kahimtangan.
Gitabunan
lang ba? Wala din nila kayo di-honor ang mga pagpakaila kang Jesus kay mga mga ginadapat may tabo may soon.
So Pilate is pressing him.
What's
pressing? Pressing him.
Okay.
Give me an answer.
Ginapugos ko diksos pagpatubag. Tubag ako. Ikaw pag yun ang ari sa Diyo.
And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from here." So what are we working for? What are we working for? What is the prosperity preachers telling you? Maybe you're not hearing them over here in the Philippines. Are you hearing the prosperity preachers? Did I hear a yes? Yes, okay, they're here. What are they telling you? That you can have all the prosperity of this world. Did we overlook what Jesus said about his kingdom? Jesus said these world things, they're not part of my kingdom. They're not going to satisfy you. He is saying that a man will give up all of his riches, his good job, his everything, in order to have the thing that is hidden and can't be seen. So we are working for the thing that can't be seen. Because we believe that there's a spiritual kingdom that is greater than the natural kingdoms. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, go over to Romans. Paul had some things to say about it in Romans. Romans 14,
Kapitulo 14.
I can't read the whole chapter of Romans, but Paul is talking about people that want to keep rules and laws.
Pablikso na gisgot nga tumataw nga buot nga magapuputok ka magatuman sa mga balaod.
He's talking about people that want to keep holidays and certain days and food and this type of thing.
Respetar niyan ang mga gitawag nga holidays and so on.
And in verse 5 he says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike.
Dunay ingon ikson ko ang usa ka tawo nagailag usa ka adlaw ingon labi pang maayo kaysa ubang adlaw.
Let every man be fully persuaded in his mind.
Samtang lain tao nagaila sa tanang mga adlaw nga matagusa ka tao adunay higpit nga una-una.
So here we are in the Philippines. And a week ago, we saw in the newspaper. Isn't it funny that the newspapers have to announce these things? The newspapers seem to announce that the whole nation is celebrating Lent. Lent.
Semana Santa.
Does the whole nation celebrate Lent? Do the Protestant Christians celebrate Lent? I hope not. Well, you know they're doing it in America. They're giving it different names. I see it on their little bulletin boards out in front of their buildings. 40 days of what was it? They were saying 40 days of something else. It wasn't 40 days of fasting. It was 40 days of some. Oh, I understand what it is. I'm just saying that the Protestants have got some new names for it. 40 days of thinking about something else, you know. And of course, I had to look into this. I went to the encyclopedia. You know, you can go on the internet and get the answers to these questions. Really, I mean, all the truth with a lot of lies too. But you can find out anything you want to find out on the internet. Go to your computer if you have one. Write in on Google or whoever you use, what is the origin of Lent? You're going to find that it came from Babylon. It was the mourning and the weeping over Nimrod's death. And then on the Easter, the egg fell into the river and the birds hatched it and Nimrod came out again. He was resurrected. Come on, this is ancient. Go and look it up. It's ancient mythology, but this is where it all comes from. Now, what they say is that the people that hold to this, I don't, they say, well, you can't eat certain things during this time of year. Can't eat meat, you know, have to eat fish. So we redefine fish and we say, well, fish isn't meat, so you can have fish. Fish is meat. It's fish meat. That's what it is. And so, you know, the sad thing is that the people, even the people that hold these things, it does not make them righteous. It does not make them righteous. In America, in New Orleans, you've heard of New Orleans, which was where the big hurricane came through and it destroyed half the city, really. Most of the people have never moved back because it destroyed the city of New Orleans, Louisiana. In Louisiana, the day before the Lent, or maybe the week before the Lent, they have a big party and it's called Mardi Gras. Have you heard of Mardi Gras? And in South America, which is very, very strong Catholic, they have wild, wild parties. Even the newspaper and the television reports the terrible things that people do during this party. I mean, wickedness, adultery, fornication, drunkenness. And then, on the day of Wednesday, all the party stops. Then they go and they get, you know, ashes, and now they're going to be really good for 40 days. And then at the end of 40 days, now we can have pig meat. Now, I'm going to tell you what Paul said. Come on, I'm reading the Bible. Verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is not keeping days. It is not keeping rules of what I can't eat and what I can eat. What are these things? Rules about what I can eat, what I can't eat, when I can eat them. I can eat them on Friday. Oh, Friday I can't eat this. What is this? It's not the kingdom of God. It's religious rules. That's all it is. That's what the kingdom is not. But let's read the rest of the verse. But it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, you look at me. I'll say what Martin said the other day. What do you see? With your natural eyes, what do you see? You see a man with a shirt and pants, and he doesn't have much hair, but he has a little. Amen. You see a man. But you can't see whether I'm righteous, or joy, or peace. Because that's hidden in the inner man. And Paul said, it's not my keeping food rules. Amen. It's not my dietary rules. Oh, brother, you can't eat that. No. Don't eat that. You want to be righteous? No, that is not righteous. Righteousness is the condition of my heart right toward God. Joy. Amen. Amen. Rejoice. Joy is what we do when we have tribulation. Amen. Peace is what I have because I have entered into Christ. I've entered into the rest, so I have peace. Amen. So it's the condition of the heart.
Kana mao igsoon kung dapat atong masairan, ang kahimtang sa atong kasing-kasing, kung kana mao giharian kita sa kamuto.
Now there's another verse in Galatians, if we can turn over to Galatians.
Galatia igsoon, dugang ang mapulo sa Dios.
Galatians 4.
4.
Tell me what was going on in Galatians when Paul wrote Galatians. Come on, who's the Bible students here? What was the problem with the Galatians? They wanted law, didn't they?
Yes.
They wanted to go back to all the rules of Moses and keeping this and keeping that and keeping this. So, chapter
4.
Let's start in verse 9. Yeah, verse 9. But now, after that you've known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage?
Apan karon nga napakailan kamo sa Dios, o inun bay noon nga karon nga hinilhan na kamo sa Dios, naun saba nga na nagpamalik naman hinoon kamo pag-usab ngadto sa mahuyan o walay bili nga mga pinasiunan pagtulunan sa kalibutan o buot magpaulipon kanila pag-usab.
You observe days and months and times and years.
Ang pagpaniid ug pagtuman nini mga adlaw binulan nga sa pananglaw nga pamahiin.
You're keeping Easter, you're keeping Christmas, you're keeping whatever. You're very careful about marking your calendar.
Kinahanglan magbantay tig sun nga hindi nato magmarka ang calendar kay naay mga marka diha nga iya sa.
And then he says, I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Why do you want to go back into that bondage? The kingdom of God is not to put you into more bondage. The kingdom of God is not measuring the color of your socks. The cuff of your shirt. Your collar. No, this is not the kingdom of God. No, we're going to dress decent, brethren. Come on, we're not going to go crazy. But we're not going to measure colors and millimeters. And, you know? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, with just a couple more things, and we'll soon be finished. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's go to Hebrews. Now, chapter 12. Oh, what a wonderful chapter. Everything in Hebrews is good. You know what I like about Hebrews? Better things. All of Hebrews is better things. Better priesthood. Amen. A better rest. Amen. A better Jerusalem. A Mount Zion that is heavenly. Amen. And a better kingdom. Let's read the better kingdom here. Amen. Verse 25.
prison.
See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him, but spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. How do you hear the voice from heaven? I have to tell you about me. I was so carnal. You would not believe how carnal I was. I came into church one day, long, long time ago, full of my troubles. And in my heart I'm crying out, God, where are you? Why don't you hear me? And to my surprise, I get an answer. The voice from heaven didn't come from there. The voice from heaven came in from here. And he said, here I am. I'm right down in here. I said, oh. I didn't have to shout. You heard it. Alright, so see that we don't turn away from that voice, whose voice then shook the earth.
Verse
26. Okay. That voice literally shook the earth one time. I mean the mountain. Black fire smoke. It was a terrible voice. It was so terrible that the people decided they didn't want to meet God. And they decided that they would rather have priests. Okay, Moses, you can be the priest. Just tell us whatever. We don't want to meet. No, too terrible. Amen. Who shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven.
Ang iyong tingog, kaya tumitayo sa yuta, apan karon ang iyong saad na gaingon, sa makausa, sa makausa pa, usab, pagkatay ugon ko, dili lamang ang yuta ra, kung dili, maingon marusab ang langit.
Now God is saying,
ang Diyos na gaingon,
that there's coming another shaking. I don't think it's going to be a black top of a mountain. I don't think you're going to see fire on the hills. But he says he's also going to shake heaven. Now we're talking about the kingdom. Why does heaven need to be shaken? I thought heaven was where God's throne is. Why does his throne need to be shaken? So we ask the children now, we'll find out where this heaven is. Children,
Mga bata kami na, ha?
Where is Jesus?
Asa man si Jesus? Langit. O sana
He's in heaven.
Amen.
All right. Does anybody have Jesus in your heart?
Wala ba nakaingon sa inyo ang si Jesus nasa inyong kasing-kasing? Oto ba nakaingon sa inyo nga si Jesus nasa akong kasing-kasing? Ana.
Did they say yes?
They also like that Jesus is in heaven and also Jesus is also in their heart.
Oh my goodness.
It was the right answer.
Jesus is in their heart and he's also in heaven. Well, could that mean that there's some heaven in my heart? Does that mean that there's a heaven in my soul? You see, the word heaven in the Bible, I know one meaning is the stars and things like that. But for the most part, the spiritual meaning of heaven, it means it's a spiritual place. Heaven is a place in the spirit.
Langit mao kinadapit nga puloy-anan sa atong espiritu.
And a place in the spirit has some other spirit things that don't belong there. You look over in Revelation 12, you find that the devil was in heaven.
Yes.
But I thought he got thrown out of heaven. He did. He got thrown out of heaven. So you see, there's different realms of heaven. He got thrown out of the high place where the throne of God was. But he got thrown into a lower realm of heaven where the soul of man lives. And he's going to have to be thrown out of that one too. And we're going to have something to do with throwing him out. Amen. Michael is going to help us, but we're going to have to be part of it too. All right, so we're talking about the shaking of heaven. Now I can ask you another question. How many of you have had your heaven shaken? Does the word of God sometimes shake your heaven? Your soul? You know, we come into these end times and you see the things that are going to happen. You're going to have your heaven shaken. You're going to see things and hear things and observe things that you never thought could happen. We're going to have some of the doctrines that we believed shaken. Because he said, yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made.
Amen.
Man-made things are going to have to be shaken out. Devil-made things are going to have to be shaken out. That those things which cannot be shaken may remain.
Hallelujah.
Where you are.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Trying to find where you are.
Oh, did you find it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
I'm still going down.
Yeah, we are.
Just keep your finger there. We're just going to keep moving. All right.
Amen.
All right. So the purpose of shaking, God's purpose of shaking us, and I've been shaken too. Come on, I get shaken every now and then. It's good for me. sisters clapping. It's good to be shaken sometimes, isn't it? Amen.
Hallelujah.
Because there's things there that need to come out. Now, here's the key verse. Here's the key. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved.
Amen. Hallelujah. Nag-ingon din 28. Busa, magmapasalamaton kita tungod sa atong pagpakadawat o gingharian nga dili matarong o tungod yan ang ihalan.
The kingdom of God cannot be shaken or moved. That which is of flesh, that which is man-made, that which is of devil-made, needs to be shaken. Come out. But when the only thing left in me is the kingdom of God, no man, no devil, nothing can take it out or shake it loose. Now, God is going to have a people. He is going to have a great people. And He is giving you an opportunity to be part of it. You can be part of that company of people. Not every believer will want that. It's called the high calling. It's called sons of God. And we can give it a lot of other names. Let me just finish with one verse in Revelation. Revelation 11, verse 15, and that'll be the end. 11:15. Oh, yes. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Every kingdom. Every kingdom in my mind and my thoughts, gone, gone. Nothing but the kingdom of God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Ang Diyos magpakanatong pag-usapan natong Ginoo.